week after Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women plus children, the loaves and the fish. And you wanted to know, where in the world did he get that ability to do that? How did he do that? How did he feed those people with loaves and fish? How did he do that miracle? And you decided that you were going to go up there and you're going to interview all those people. And you're going to ask them about what they felt while they were eating it, and how it was digested, and any experiences that they might have had after having that meal. It wouldn't do any good if you were in the process of that investigation trying to figure out how Jesus made fish and bread out of nothing. You see, that is analogous to the issue of creation. You can observe the way things are now, but that doesn't tell you anything about how they became what they are. Creation cannot be understood any other way than by believing the revelation of the Creator, and that's your first test when you open your Bible. I am absolutely astounded at how many people who call themselves Christians, who lead large and effective Christian ministries, don't have any position on Genesis 1 and 2 except that they find it hard to believe it. And I ask them, at what chapter do you kick in? When do we finally get you on board? Is it Genesis 3? Do you buy that? Or maybe 4? Now, what I'm saying is creation has no connection at all to science, any more than the behavior of Lazarus could in any way reveal how he was raised from the dead. Creation is not a scientific event, cannot be explained scientifically, as if natural law played any part. Creation was a massive supernatural miracle to be equaled by the future uncreation, when in a lot less than 6 days, God destroys everything He created. Neither event, creation or uncreation, can be explained by any natural fixed laws. So, all that is left to the reader is the opportunity to believe, fidelity, faithful trust in the Word of the Creator. That's all we've got. People say, well, couldn't God have used evolution?